Last week, we had the first part of our visit with Ned Lubarecki, who's released a new album entitled Take Five, where we talked a little bit about some of the tunes on that album, some of the songs. You're going to hear the second part of that interview today, as we'll explore the rest. It's a very deep project, as Ned often does on his solo ventures. Covers everything from Dave Brubeck to, well, Gene Roddenberry, as you'll find out today. You're listening to Unreal Bluegrass. To the people listening, I'm talking to Ned Lubarecki. Of course, Adams County Breakdown, we're all fans of Tom Adams. So, and you, did you send me the MP3 of that last year?
I might have. Yeah. I actually had that one recorded a while back.
Yeah, because I've used it before, and I thought that and it's the same one. Yeah.
So it just finally made it onto the album.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's great. I mean, Tom writes great stuff. It's a great. You did a great job of replaying the breakdown. I was going to say you took a great break on it, but you played the whole song. I was looking down a little confused, but that's a great tune, and We'll Put Out the Fire again is another one from, looks like some familiar writing names there with John Weisberger. I do not know the other person credited.
Vita Wakeman. We did the show. There's a show that goes on here in Nashville, outside of Nashville, called Music City Roots. And John was invited as a guest on that show to do some songs that he had written. And so he brought the co-writers of the songs onto the show with him. And one of them that he did was that one. And he got Vita Wakeman to come up and sing it. And I just really liked the tune. It just had that old-time sort of feel about it. And I asked John, I said, hey, has anybody ever recorded that? And he said, no. He thought they had somebody interested in it, but they didn't end up doing it. And so I wanted to use it, and I wasn't even sure who to get to sing it. And John suggested Amanda Smith. Yeah. He said, oh, man, Amanda Smith would be really good at that. So I called her up, and she said, sure. So we did that one. But we did it on the show first, and that's where I first heard it. Really, really dug the song.
That's great. And it's nice that you can pull in all these great, talented people and just have Amanda come over and sing, and all these folks show up for you. Ned, you know why? Because they like you.
Well, that's that, and I paid them.
Well, that's why they like you. That's why
they will come.
That's why they like you. There are, I count three medleys on the album. And so when we talk about the three jazz tunes, there's the Buck Owens medley, which is you and Steven, and that's a fun, and Kitchen Squirrel medley, and B-flat medley. And I never understand, first of all, how you pick tunes out to put in a medley, and they all fit together. But let's talk a little bit about those three numbers on the tune, which are more than one tune, but if you can do that.
Well, let's see. The B-flat medley came about. That one came because I was determined at one point to learn how to play. The two tunes on there are the first one is Done Gone, and then the second song is New Camptown Races. And at some point, I was fooling around, inspired completely by Tony Trischka and Alan Mundy. These are the two kings of playing stuff in other keys that you'd never think about playing on the banjo without a capo. And so I thought, you know, there ought to be a way to play New Camptown Races in B-flat in open G tuning. And so I worked on it, and I figured it out. And back when I was playing with... I played a couple of years with Larry Cordell on some standard time,
right.
And Bowie Beach used to do that as a guitar instrumental. He used to play New Camptown Races. And so once I finally kind of got it up to playing speed, I thought, well, that's where I'll do it. And that's where I dusted it off. Then one day I was sitting around the house and just looking for other tunes to do that with, you know, to figure out in different keys. And when it came to B-flat, I had remembered somebody doing a version of the tune Done Gone. And it turned out it was Carl Jackson. And Carl also played it without a capo, but he played it in G minor tuning. He tuned his second string down to a B-flat. But I thought, well, you know, I ought to be able to do it in just open G. So I worked on it and figured it out. And so that was just my little show-offy, you know, hey, look, I can play these songs in B-flat. But Shad Cobb, that one is done with another band that Missy Raines is part of called the Helen Highwater String.
Yeah.
And it's Chad Cobb on the fiddle, Missy on the bass, Mike Compton and David Greer on the mandolin and guitar. And I knew that those guys would give it the proper kind of bouncy old-time feel. Chad Cobb is just amazing, and he matched what I was playing on the banjo with the fiddle on Done Gone just amazingly. And then I really liked the way everybody did New Camptown Races, especially David Greer. His guitar playing is always so slippery that it was just fun to get to do a tune like that with those guys. The other medleys, the Kitchen Squirrel,
yeah.
That one came from the two tunes are Kitchen Girl and Squirrel Hunters. And I thought Kitchen Squirrel sounded like the right name for the medley because Girl Hunters definitely didn't sound right. So I think I made the right choice. I think Kitchen Girl is one of the tunes that I learned actually when I was writing the book. I wanted to explain the A Mixolydian mode, and that one led to
I hate you for that.
Yeah. I don't even know how to spell that, but it's in the book. I could look it up. And that tune was there. And I guess Squirrel Hunters is one that got to be popular at jam sessions a few years ago. I started hearing people play it, and so I learned how to play them both. And again, they're both in A, but played in open G, but they're in that Mixolydian mode, so they have the flat 7 in them all the time, so your open G string works real well.
And that's basically you and Becky.
And it's just me and Becky, yeah, just fiddle and banjo. The old-time traditional fiddle and banjo. And then the Buck Owens thing came because Netsky and Mojo, whenever we would go on the road, there were certain CDs that we would always throw in the player, or different things we would put on the iPod when we would listen. And Buck Owens always managed to be near the top of that list. It seemed like the top two in our playlist was Buck Owens and Take Six. And we knew we couldn't handle Take Six.
Yeah, well.
There weren't enough of us.
No, that's true. But I will tell you this. You absolutely nailed Don Rich and Buck Owens' vocals.
Oh, man. It was fun to get to try to do it. And we, you know, it's funny. We knew we wanted to do a Buck Owens tune, but we didn't know what to do. And it was finally, it was coming down to close to when we were supposed to go in and record. And we just, like, you know, started calling each other and saying, what about this one? What about this one? And when it came to Before You Go, I had heard somebody else do that one time, and I can't even remember who, but I don't think it was on a record. I just heard somebody do it live, and I liked the vibe of that song. When we did it, it was just too short, so we decided we had to put a second one on there.
You know, folks, Netsky and Mojo, do you guys do dates together anymore?
We just played the Country Music Hall of Fame a couple of weeks ago.
All right.
But we don't play much just because Stephen's been so busy, not only with the Sam Bush Band, but he's also the director of
the teaching, yeah, college.
At Bethel. But we're hoping maybe one of these days we can resurrect it. We actually wrote all the material for a follow-up album and have just been sitting around waiting to do it. You know, it's kind of like we don't bother to work on the album because we don't really have any gigs, and then we don't bother to book any gigs because we don't have an album.
We're going to touch on two more tunes here. That's all that's left. But do you tour at all, just kind of doing this? I guess that would be kind of hard to do to get everybody together. Or what do you do when you release a solo album, which is this is the second one that I know of? Do you incorporate these things in the shows that you're doing maybe with Becky now? Or what do you do with them?
Well, I really ought to think about that.
Okay. Well, we'll talk again. You can think about an answer.
No, we have been doing one or two songs. We do the other duet that Becky and I did, the Fiddlin' Dan.
Fiddlin' Dan, that's the other tune.
Where mm-hmm. she sings Arkansas Traveler. We do that one in the show. We've been doing Adams County Breakdown in the show.
Okay.
I haven't figured out a way to get the jazz tunes worked into anything yet, but someday it would be cool to do. And one thing I have never done really is a solo show.
I know.
And I keep wondering if there's a way I can do that. I figure, you know, Noam Pikelny's out there doing a solo show right now, and if he can do it, I can do it.
My God, you can. You absolutely can. Now, the last time I saw you in person, the Becky Buller Band was coming through town, and we just got together as you were blowing through. And what was the very first thing I asked you, Ned, when I saw you is, have you seen the new Star Trek movie? That gets us to the last cut on the album.
Ah, yes. The new Star Trek. Yeah, that's my fiddle and banjo tribute to Where No Man Has Gone Before. Again, just sort of a crazy idea. I thought, wouldn't it be funny to do a fiddle and banjo version of the original Star Trek theme? And that one came from, I think this was when the first Star Trek movie of the revamp, the new series with Chris Pine and those guys, we had gotten together with some friends, and Jeremy and Connie Garrett were in that crew with us, and Jeremy's wife Connie is also a bit of a Trekkie like I am. And so we were excited to go see the movie, and we all went and saw the movie and, you know, got our Star Trek nerd on. And while we were watching it and the opening, the music was playing, Jeremy Garrett was sitting right next to me, and he said, listen to this. He said, listen, man, listen, the G-run fits perfectly at the end of the day. And Jeremy can put a G-run in anything.
That's true.
So I knew when I thought about doing it as a fiddle banjo tune, I knew that I wanted Jeremy to play it with me because he would have the proper nerdistic feel about
That's
it.
Perfect.
And we did it. We did the whole – I figured out the key changes in the front, the whole dee, dee, dee. I figured all that out and put it all in the right key and told Jeremy what I wanted him to play. And then we had recorded it, and I couldn't decide whether I wanted to put the voice over.
You got to do that. You had to do that.
Well, and that's what the engineer, Ben Surratt, who engineered the record for me and recorded it, Ben was also in that crew that went to see Star Trek. He's the communications officer on this trip. And he...
Wait a minute, did you guys have shirts?
Oh, and mine was gold.
Yeah, because you're not going to die. You don't want to die in a red shirt.
That's right. But I don't know. I'm not sure if Ben was going to be wearing a blue shirt for science officer or if he was going to have the red shirt for engineering. Okay. But he just looked at me and he said, oh, you've got to do it. And so I got out my phone and I said, well, wait a minute, let me listen to it one time because I just wanted to hear how William Shatner had phrased it. And Ben looked at me and he was just ashamed. He said, oh, no, you don't have to listen to this. You know, man, it's just the timing. I know the words.
That's great. It's a great way to end. It's a minute and 27 seconds of pure gold.
Well, nobody had done it before.
Nope.
It's my job to go where no man has gone before.
Where no banjo has gone before. What a great...
And it's with a shave and a haircut.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you beat that?
This is such a great album, Ned. I don't like to say that it covers everything, but it covers a lot, and it's all done so well. And I've said this before, and I say it to you, and I say it to people that I meet, that, you know, I don't know, Ned, and this is just between you and me, that you are as good a banjo player as I've ever heard or seen. You don't need to react to this, but this album to me just further demonstrates what I know from knowing you for all these many years and seeing you and knowing, and it's not an accident to the people listening. I'm talking to Ned Lubrecki. You practice and work and work and work and work and work to get everything perfect, and you pay attention to your instrument because it has to sound right. And it's not a mistake. You practice your art to where you become this master of the instrument, and nobody else does Take Five and all these things that you're doing on an album like this as proficiently and with as much touch. I just think it's, I'm just saying between you and me, I don't know of a better player all around than Ned Lubrecki, whatever you want him to do.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I really do, and it's...
I've said it to you before. I'm not just saying that. I've told you before.
And you know, it's one of those things where I think back to years and years ago when I was first learning how to play the banjo, and I remember thinking that my banjo teacher, I would watch him play. And then I would hear about Alan Mundy or Tony Trischka or whoever they were, and I would hear them play. And to me, they all knew everything, and I knew nothing, you know. And so I didn't have a real concept of who might be better or know more or something like that. And then at some point, you start getting into a place where you rate different people, and you think, well, is this person better than this person or that? And then you start to realize that it's just music, you know, it's music, and there's not necessarily better. And of course, I look at players still like Noam Pikelny and Bela Fleck and I mean they can do things that I could barely dream of, and I just hope I even know enough to understand to listen to them. But I also think back and I listen to players like, well, I mean, we can all still listen to Earl and just think, man, it was just incredible music that he did, and that puts me back in the mind of just saying, just try to make good music. Mm-hmm. You know, just try to, you know, don't try to play above yourself any further than you can. Just find stuff that hits you and play it and hope that other people like it too. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate that your kind words about it, and I think it comes from maybe the little bit of maturity in not trying to blow anybody away, but just trying to play tunes honestly the way that I like them.
Yeah, well, it's great. Is it available at the Nedsky.com?
Netsky.com, and this one is available on iTunes.
Okay.
It will be shortly. It's the end of the month. 31st of March is when the official release date. But if they go to iTunes, they can pre-order and download Higher Ground will come with the pre-order. And through the release date, if anybody pre-orders it between now and the 31st, from my website, if they order the actual physical album, they can get it for with no shipping, you know, free shipping, and you'll get a download of it also, but not until the release date.
You know, and I knew you had done Take Five, and I'll let you go here in a minute. So when I get the CD the other day, as I'm taking off the shiny wrapper and I can't see that clearly, I see Night Driver and I see Higher Ground, and I'm thinking Stevie Wonder. he really is branching out.
I may have to do that one next. I was thinking a nice banjo album tribute to the Village People would be something.
That'd be good. All right.
We'll tell you this. Yep. YMCA is in the key of G if you ever need to play along with it.
Okay. I might do that. Ned Lubarecki, man, I miss you guys, and I'll see you around sometime soon. But thanks for taking the time to talk about this great album, Take Five. I really enjoy the heck out of it, and it gets played on jazz radio airways in Cincinnati, and it will continue to get so. And plus, I'm going to play it on the Bluegrass Show because I do that too. But you're out there.
I'm a crossover. It's a crossover hit.
Yes, you take the two most popular musical idioms, bluegrass and jazz.
Right.
it's a can't lose proposition.
That's it. Yep.
Next time you can do disco and polka music.
Oh, hey, don't tempt me.
All right. Listen, Ned, thanks a lot, man. I'll talk to you somewhere soon, and best of luck, and thanks so much for putting a great album together. It's fantastic.
All right. See you soon, Steve. All thanks, right. Man.
See you, bud. Bye.
Bye.